Thank you very much for giving me the floor. It's a pleasure to be here. This is my fifth Eighth Trade Report, and when I started last summer with Michael discussing it, I wondered if we were able to say something new in this fifth report, and I must tell you that, yes, I think we do say something new. I think the focus on trade costs brings a new dynamic to the Eighth Trade Initiative. But not only the focus on trade costs, also the fact that this time we have engaged with many more authors than those from the OECD and WTO, brought new perspectives from it. The perspective from the World Bank, from UNCTAD, from the Enhanced Integrated Framework, ITC, and the World Economic Forum, which you heard this morning, give a new perspective and broaden this, the engagement, which was one of the objectives we set out at the fourth global review. What I will do in my presentation is to combine two chapters, which we wrote, chapter three, which is about policies and practices and the aid for trade flows. I presented the aid for trade flows last time I was here, but these were the preliminary flows. And I will also talk about the donor engagement with the private sector, which is a new priority of the donor community. So first, I will talk about these priorities, then, you know, seeing whether or not aid for trade is aligned around these priorities of the partner countries and the donor community. Then thirdly, I will talk about what are the results, and then I will draw some conclusions. The partner priorities are very much focused on competitiveness, and competitiveness is very much making trade an engine of economic growth and of poverty reduction, and 56% of the partner countries highlighted competitiveness as their number one priority. And how do you promote trade? Well, we discussed this morning very much through trade facilitation. Sherry also explained how trade facilitation is very much an issue that will reduce trade friction and trade costs, and this was highlighted by 46% of the respondents. And then thirdly, an important priority of the partner countries is to build up their capacities, especially in building productive capacities and promoting the private sector. I will return later to this specific focus of the chapter. What is interesting also to see is that the issue of green growth doesn't attract much attention or doesn't have a lot of priority, which is interesting in the context of what Mia is going to discuss later on, the Sustainable Development Goals, where green growth is really an essential part of. Donor priorities are very much focused on trade facilitation. Almost two-thirds of the respondents highlighted trade facilitation as an issue of great importance for them. Then in the donor community, you see much more focus on the Sustainable Development Goals, the post-2015 development agenda, which is very much an issue on the agenda of the development community. 55% of the respondents highlighted that as their priority. Private sector development is really an important part of the development agenda now, realizing that economic growth can only be generated by the private sector, and so there is a new focus of the donor community in promoting that, not only promoting the private sector in developing countries, but also engaging with their private sector in delivering more resources for development. Regional integration is an important part, I think, not in the least because the donor community does realize that by providing support through regional organizations, you get a bigger bang for the buck. Take, for instance, the example of trade facilitation. It makes much more sense to improve border procedures at both sides of the borders and infrastructure at both sides of the borders than do it on a national basis. And that probably explains, as Sherry already said, why you see in some cases that specific national countries do not seem to get any support for trade facilitation, but this support is probably coming through the regional organizations. Then an issue which is not raised by the partner countries, but still very much on the agenda of the donor community, is to show results, accountability. I think the case stories we are presenting in the Aid for Trade at a Glance show that the results are really being achieved with the Aid for Trade. And in addition to what Michael said this morning, we will also publish all the case stories in a separate volume called Aid for Trade in Action, the sequel, because this is the second time that we do it. Then, so are donors aligning their support around Aid for Trade? Yes, I think after 10 years, you know, Aid for Trade has increased from $25 billion to now $55 billion, which is up 120% compared to the baseline. And it's especially in infrastructure, which is considered to be a very important part of the trade cost agenda, connectivity, that went up 150%. Support for trade policy and regulation went up 106%. Sherry already spoke about how important the increase in support for trade facilitation was, and trade policy and regulations are, for a large extent, support to trade facilitation. Actually, it increased by a factor of 8, which is quite significant in donor terms. Annually, the increase continued. The only one which is surprising, given the support that donors want to give to the private sector, is that private sector support decreased by 7% in 2013 compared to 2012. And on building productive capacity, donor support on the on supporting the private sector focuses on three main areas. First is the improvement of the framework conditions for private sector support. So this is helping with setting up competition policy, helping with setting up a regulatory framework, helping with improving the banking system. These are not very expensive types of assistance because it's mainly technical assistance. Then second, this is something Marion talked about this morning, is addressing market failures, especially in the area of access to banking and in the area of information. And the third area in which donors support the private sector is through direct support. And this is actually a very difficult way of trying to promote the private sector. Evaluations show that a lot of these direct support measures do not lead to the results we expect. And you also see, you see on this slide, perhaps not so well from the back of the room where I sat this morning, but you see in the slide that support for industry and mining has decreased considerably since 2013. What went up, what is a large share of support for the private sector is for agriculture. It has the largest share, and that's not in the least part due to the Aquila Food Pledge, which led to a four-time increase in support for agriculture from $5 billion to $20 billion. As I said, one of the market failures is access to finance. That's also increased significantly, 28%. So donors are addressing the kind of issues they think are important. One of the areas in which they become more, in which they are showing more and more interest, is to deliver development assistance by engaging their own private sector. For instance, the United States of America uses General Electric to improve access to energy in Africa. Now, this is an issue which is fraught with many complications because, as you know, the effectiveness of development assistance declines significantly when you tie it to your own donor companies, and this is an area where I think the donor community hasn't really resolve how to engage their own private sector without tying support to their own private sector, which would reduce the value of the development assistance according to OECD statistics by a quarter. Now, where does the support go to? As I've explained many times before here, it goes mainly to Asia and Africa. It makes a lot of sense because there's the largest number of poor people. In 2012, there was a large increase in support to Africa, especially North Africa, and you see that in 2013, this was basically a one-off increase, probably due to the support donors wanted to give to North African countries after the Arab Spring. The share of Asia and Africa in overall total disbursement is quite equal. It's around 38% for Asia, 34% for Africa. Most of the aid for trade support does go to middle-income countries. If you accept the premises that donors align their support around priorities from developing countries, this means that the LDCs probably have other very pressing development needs for which they want to have development assistance. On the other hand, in the conclusions, we make the point that it actually probably makes a lot of sense to increase aid for trade to middle-income countries because that's the most dynamic growth center of the world, and that's also where LDCs are increasingly trading with. Nevertheless, the support to the LDCs has increased significantly over the last 10 years by 161% and basically quite steadily 15% per year. The middle-income countries' support has increased by 90%, but at a much lower rate, around 9%. most of the support that goes to the middle-income countries is actually in loans and not in grants, as is the preferred financing for the least developed countries. One thing which is very important, which is one of the objectives the Aid for Trade Task Force set out, was that there was additional financing available for the Aid for Trade initiative. And here you see that the red line shows that the share of Aid for Trade in what we call sector allocable, but this is program aid, has been steadily increasing by almost 1% a year, from 31% to 38%. So in that sense, the Aid for Trade initiative is a huge success. What we also are increasingly looking at is not only official development assistance, but other official flows. These other official flows have also been rising. They go for 92% to the middle-income countries, and they finance mainly economic infrastructure and public and building productive capacity. So it's a very important flow, but it's especially a very important flow for the middle-income countries, because the idea is that the middle-income countries generate enough income to pay off these non-concessional loans. As Sherry already said, and as some other speakers already said, we had renewed the call for case studies to find out what the impacts from all this aid for trade is. I think we provided something like 260 billion in disbursements since 2000 to 2005 in aggregate disbursements. So 260 billion is a lot of money, combined with 190 billion in other official flows. So what are the results of this? Well, I think the results are very positive according to the case stories, and there is, of course, a bias in these case stories, but the findings are also confirmed by empirical studies, by NGOs, by ODI, for instance, by ICTDS, by ourselves, by academics, that indeed aid for trade does lead to export diversification. But more importantly, it creates employment also for women. It increases the GDP per capita. It reduces poverty. And also very important, especially in the context of the new Sustainable Development Goals, it succeeds in attracting investment from foreigners, but also domestic investment. So overall, I think a very positive picture about the impacts of aid for trade on trade, economic growth, and poverty reduction. This morning we spoke a bit about the World Economic Forum spoke a little bit about how to engage the private sector much better. I think engagement of the private sector at the national level is probably something which is taking place, but at the regional level and at the global level is a much more difficult issue. And not only is it more difficult, the private sector and the donor community does not only want the private sector to become involved in the identification of the binding constraints to trade expansion, but also in the design of programs, in the implementation of programs and the co-financing of programs, and in the evaluation of the effects of these programs. And so the public-private dialogue should be much more expanded to really cover the whole life cycle of the project. But it is something which is very difficult, because we international civil servants and civil servants in general seem to have more time than the public, than the private sector in discussing these kind of issues. And there's also not only a different time frame, but also a different expectations of what we want to get out of these programs. So it's a very difficult issue, which we will discuss, the OECD, the World Economic Forum, and ITC at the side event on the first day of the fifth global review. So in conclusion, like I said, I think it's an overall very positive picture that the Aid for Trade initiative achieved in its 10 years of existence. Continuous and commitments and disbursements continue to grow at quite astonishing rates of around 10% on average. LDCs are benefiting increasingly more, but still more money goes to the middle-income countries, and the terms of assistance are improving, especially for the LDCs. Now, as I said, in terms of achievement, trade performance is improving, poverty is being reduced, but there remain challenges which we will set out in the conclusions of the Aid for Trade at a Glance, which is to expand the partnership with the private sector, but also, and this Mia will talk about, how to link the Aid for Trade initiative better to the Sustainable Development Goals. As I already said, it's not one of the priorities of the partner countries, as it seems. how to make it inclusive and sustainable. And I think that the focus on trade costs really makes it a very action-focused agenda, or has the potential to make it a very action-focused agenda. Trade liberalization is not something that gets great excitement in the donor community, but I think if we explain the benefits of trade liberalization, but especially of in the context of reducing trade costs, which, as was set out this morning, are especially difficult for the LDCs and the small and medium-sized enterprises. If we focus the debate in the terms of trade costs, I think we will succeed in continuing to maintain donor attention for this very important initiative. And with that, Chairman, I rest me just to say that we have all the information available. We have a joint website, but somehow this came up. All the information will be there, and thank you very much for your attention.